the voice and work of Black American poet, storyteller, playwright, Sonia Sanchez. She's today's guest on the literary corner, Black Writers of the World, a series of analysis and interpretations of Black world literature. Sonia Sanchez is an instructor of English at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. Her works include books of poetry, children's books, and plays. She is also the editor-at-large for the Journal of Black Poetry and Black Theater magazine, in addition to writing articles for various literary periodicals. Today you'll hear an interview with Sonia Sanchez, Professor Sarah Fabio, and myself, Pam Johnson. We'll discuss Sonia Sanchez's work and her experiences as a writer. What works are you working on right now?
Well, right now I've just finished a new collection of poetry called Hakus, Tankas, and Other Love Syllables, and have also compiled a collection of my poetry with some new poems. I'm doing a novel called After Saturday Night Comes Sunday, and I'm doing a play on Bessie Smith.
What's After Saturday Night Comes Sunday about?
It's actually a novel that has seven chapters, and each chapter is a day in this woman's life. Mm-hmm. And it begins with Saturday night.
What kind of ideas are you putting in? I understand that a lot of authors put their ideologies into their works. Did you consciously write from that viewpoint?
Well, I've been writing since I was a little girl. As a little girl, I stuttered, and at that time, I didn't put anything consciously into my writing other than writing. But what's interesting is that during vacations and holidays, I would be found writing poems about George Washington crossing the Delaware. So I began to understand later on why I wrote those kinds of poems. When I was in college, I went to a place called Hunter College in New York City. I had taken some courses there, some writing courses there, and I constantly wrote about my father and myself as Black people, and the professor consistently and constantly crossed out things, saying that I was too sensitive, and there were other kinds of things that I could be writing about. Why didn't I do some more creative kinds of things? And finally, when you keep getting C pluses on stories,
and that doesn't
finally
stand for creative, huh?
No, it does not. Not at all. It doesn't mean plus creative. Okay, it means exactly that C plus grade. And finally, I decided to. I said, "This dude." I said, "Really." Want something other than what I'm giving him. I realized he could not deal with what I was saying. One of the stories concerned my father, who went out into the world and had one kind of smile on his face, and he came back and slammed the door at night and said, "Those goddamn people." And certainly he was reflecting Du Bois and those warring souls that we have, Black people have inside of ourselves. I didn't recognize that because I had not read or heard of Du Bois in being educated in New York City, okay? But I did know what I had seen. And so finally, what I did very simply was brought in a story saying that I had gone home this day not feeling well at all and had started to look into a mirror, and the mirror began to talk back to me. And he said, that's creative. And I got some very good grade, you know, like A minus on it. Mm-hmm. So from then on, mirrors and trees and you name it talked to me, and I answered back and got through that course. But what it did to me is that I didn't write. I stopped writing. It just smashed me because I understood what was happening, and I didn't want to get through the course with a decent grade because I love writing, but I also didn't want to get through the course with a C or a C plus, but it turned me off of writing. And I was not turned on to writing again until I was out of school and had returned to NYU, and I took an evening course with a woman by the name of Louise Bogan, who was a renowned poet at the time, mm-hmm. who let me write what I wanted to write and only corrected or talked about the form. She was not concerned about the content.
When did you start really writing prolifically, son?
Well, I guess I started writing prolifically in high school. I just wish I could find all of that work that I did at that point. then when I was, again, when I met a man by the name of Baraka, who's also known as Leroy Jones here in this country, I met him after the class with Louise Bogan.
What year was that?
I knew you were going to ask that.
65?
No, not that. That 65 was like, that's late.
That's late.
65
okay.
is after Malcolm's assassination and before we started Black Arts.
Okay.
I'm talking about early 60s.
Okay.
I met Baraka when he was just getting some of his plays, like The Toilet and things like that, done on Off-Broadway.
Okay, Dutchman.
And I came to some of the rehearsals. He had heard that I was a writer. Because I attended a writer's workshop after the workshop with Louise Bogan. I attended a writer's workshop for 3 years in the village. And
did
that's
you?
How I stumbled upon Baraka.
Who was given the village workshop?
Just some people who had been in the workshop. And we had mutual friends. And I literally stumbled over him, and I'm a very, at least I used to be, and still am, but like I bluster through it all. I'm a very shy person, so I had an entire conversation with him with my eyes lowered, and he kept saying, "You right, huh?" You know, and I said, "Yeah, you know." Yes, he said, "Well, let me see some of your stuff," and I figured this man, who has already a reputation, or beginning reputation, could not possibly want to see some of my work, okay? And the next time I saw him, I had not sent work to him. He said, "Well, we're really going to send some of your work, Sonia." And I said, I looked up at him then. I said, "You really want?" He said, "Yes, I want to see some of your work. I'm doing an anthology." And I ran home and sat down at the typewriter, and I'm the world's worst typist, and typed up some poems, which certainly came out in a magazine called Revolution, which came out of a place called Paris, France. And Joe Johnson, Baraka, A.B. Spellman, and myself were all in that magazine. And then, I became good friends. We were good friends, and we traveled a lot. You know, we moved around a lot together. And saw a lot of motion and movement with Baraka, you know, coming up to Harlem.
How much writing do you do for children?
Oh, I've just finished a collection of short stories for children within their age range of from 8 on.
I see one here that you have, The Adventures of Fat Head, Small Head,
so.
And Square Head.
That's a I love that book. That's a great little book.
I like that title. Perhaps you'll read some of that for us.
Right. Well, I can maybe tell you the story
about
three good friends by the name of Fat Head and a brother by the name of Adamola, an artist out of New York, did did the drawings, and they're really fantastic. Fathead, Smallhead, and Squarehead were making a trip through the jungles of the Sudan, and Fathead was slow. And, you know, he was so slow that, like, Smallhead and Squarehead thought he was really a pain, and they constantly did things without him. You know how people think when people do things slowly that they must not be too quick, too fast up here. And so on this trip, they decided to, Smallhead and Squarehead decided they were going to make something really majestic to take with them, but they said, "Don't tell Fathead, because he's so slow, he'll hold us up." So one night after dinner, when Fathead stretched out to take a nap after dinner, a lot of symbolism in this book. Smallhead and Squarehead, you know, jumped off and started to build a statue of a lion, and it was a wooden statue, okay. And so they started to build, and it was really majestic and beautiful. Fathead came along and said, "You know, how you doing? You know, what's happening? What are you making?" They said, "Anybody can see what we're making. It's a wooden statue of a lion." And so he said, "Okay, well, before you finish putting the head on that statue, let me get in this tree and watch you from afar." And he did that. When they put the head on the lion power came into his arms, his heart, you know, and his head and whatever. And with one powerful gulp, he swallowed up Smallhead and Squarehead. And so Fathead went to sleep in the tree, you know, and watched the lion, who slowly, you know, went and ventured further out into the jungle. Fathead went to sleep in the tree. When morning came, he continued his journey. And there were two morals at the end of the story, and the two are, slow is not always dumb, and fast is not always smart. And the other one is, just as a lion is never dangerous without a head, so a people never progress without a leader.
Let's hear a couple of your poems.
Sure, I'd like to read maybe from a first book called Homecoming. It's called Poem at 30. It is midnight, no magical bewitching hour for me. I know only that I am here, waiting, remembering that once as a child I walked 2 miles in my sleep. Did I know then where I was going, traveling? I am always traveling. I want to tell you about me, about nights on a brown couch when I wrap my bones in lint and refuse to move. No one touches me anymore. Father, do not send me out among strangers. You black man, stretching, scraping the mold from your body, here is my hand. I am not afraid of the night. From a blues book for Blue Black Magical Women, which is like a very important book to me. This woman vomiting her hunger over the world. This melancholy woman forgotten before memory came. This yellow movement bursting forth like Coltrane's melodies, all mouth, buttocks moving like palm trees. This honey-coated Alabamian woman, raining rhythms of blue-black smiles. This yellow woman carrying beneath her breast pleasures without tongues. This woman whose body weaves desert patterns. This woman wet with wandering, reviving the beauty of forests and winds, is telling you secrets. Gather up your odors and listen as she sings the mold from memory. There is no place for a soft black woman. There is no smile green enough or summertime words warm enough to allow my growth. And in my head, I see my history standing like a shy child, and I chant lullabies as I ride my past on horseback, tasting the thirst of yesterday tribes, hearing the ancient black woman me singing, hey, hey, yeah, 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 like a slow scent beneath the sun, and I dance my creation, and my grandmothers, gathering from my bones like great wooden birds, spread their wings while their long-legged laughter stretches the night, and I taste the seasons of my birth, mangoes, papayas, drink my woman coconut milks, stalk the ancient grandfather sipping on proud afternoons, walk with a song round my waist, tremble like a newborn child troubled with new breasts, and my singing becomes the only sound of a blue-black magical woman walking, womb ripe, walking loud with mornings, walking, making pilgrimage to herself, walking.
You've been listening to an interview with Black American poet, storyteller, and playwright Sanya Sanchez and Professor Sarah Fabio. I'm Pam Johnson. Our operator has been Bob Cham. The Literary Corner is made possible by funds from WHA Radio, Madison, Wisconsin, a service of the University of Wisconsin Extension.